On today's episode of Talkin' Tom, we're on the case again with Turner and Hooch, starring proud dog owner Tom Hanks.
Turner and Hooch is a 1989 detective comedy directed by Roger Spottiswoode, who would later go on to direct the James Bond film Tomorrow Never Dies.
So, grab your dog treats, tons of paper towels, and some Lysol, because Hooch got out again.
Hooch!
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Talkin' Tom, the Pod Hanks podcast, where we watch Tom Hanks movies and we talk about them.
Yay!
Hey!
Welcome, Hanks heads. I like that term. I'll use it now.
It's like such a loving thing.
An endearing little nickname, little pet name.
Well, I'm Josie.
I'm Daniel.
And today we watch the movie Turner and Hooch.
Yes.
But before we talk about that, I think we gotta like do some housekeeping.
Catch up. What's up?
Well, I wanted to tell you something that's a little concerning. Okay. I went to the doctor, and I found out that I'm vitamin D deficient.
Dang.
Yeah.
Is that easy to deal with?
Yeah, you just take a supplement and, like, go outside.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's from the sun. That's what I'm not getting.
Are you going to blame watching Tom Hanks movies and reading Tom Hanks books on this deficiency?
Yeah, that's what I told my doctor.
Okay.
And she was like, I'm worried about you.
But please listen to my podcast.
Yeah, but we could use another subscriber. Yeah. In all seriousness, vitamin D is a very important vitamin that everybody is probably like borderline deficient in. It makes your brain really strong and healthy and prevents cancer. So
that's pretty cool.
Today's episode is brought to you by vitamin D.
And doesn't Sunny D have a lot of vitamin D? Wasn't that their thing?
Oh, I thought it was vitamin C.
I don't know.
Me either.
Sunny D, I guess it's Sunny Delight, but calling it Sunny D makes it sound, I'm probably it does. Wrong.
Yeah.
I don't have the effort to fact check that.
Well, enough about me.
What have I been up to? I started working with the Vista Theater in LA. It's my favorite theater in the city. Mm. And there is a group called Secret Movie Club, and they do midnight screenings on 35mm. And every month is themed, and I reached out and started working with them, so that's what I'm doing.
That's great.
It's pretty cool.
I have two questions.
Yes.
Why is it a secret?
It started off as a word-of-mouth thing.
Oh, sick.
That was like an email list, and it's not really a secret anymore because we have pretty big crowds, but it's a cool name. It makes it feel inclusive, and but it's not a secret anymore.
And midnight movie means it happens at midtown?
Happens at midnight. At Midtown. Happens at midnight, like it used to be. Used to be, in my teenage years, all those years ago, a movie came out, you go at midnight. There's something about a midnight experience, like only the dedicated go to the midnight movie.
What are some movies you went and saw at midnight?
Throughout history?
Sure, yeah.
Oh, man. Pretty much every major release, like if it was out and my parents would let me before I was old enough to drive,
whoa,
you'd go at midnight. They'd drop you off, and like you'd have some other friend's parents that would pick you up, and they were really unhappy when they picked you up. Now you can go to movies at like 7 p.m. the night before.
Thursday.
Yeah, which is nice for sleep schedule, but I still feel like the diehards, they'll want to see it first, but they'll hold off for midnight a lot of times. Mm-hmm. It's a different crowd at midnight.
It's the rush of like walking the streets when no one else is.
Well, it's that idea, originally it was the idea that midnight, yeah, everyone's gone to bed, but you're going to be the first person to see that movie. You're going to come out and go to bed and then wake up to a world that's just going to get the opportunity, but you've done it. Because it would be like the movie would play at midnight and then you couldn't see it till the next day, till, you know, whenever theaters open the next day.
Yeah.
It was a big deal.
I know that I went and saw a Harry Potter, and I didn't go see it. I read the books because I'm an intellectual.
Those were rough. Did you stay up all night reading them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I would immediately forget the entire book.
Yeah, I feel like I'd read them in like a day or two, and then have to go reread them slower because it would just, you want to like finish as fast as you can, but
it was just a stupid race, and my comprehension was shit. Yeah.
It was sort of like the I think binge culture nowadays. Mm. When a show comes out on Netflix, you finish it in a day, but like, what do you remember from it? Yeah. 3 days later.
And that's why none of us have the urge to like watch the second season of Master of None. Ooh, sorry, I said it. Oh my god.
But it's sort of like if you don't watch it immediately, everyone has moved on to something else. There's nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
And I like to talk about things.
Yeah. Just like you're doing. Yeah. Here.
So doing here. Just very late to some of these movies.
Yeah. Have you guys heard of this new movie,
Turner and Hooch? Well, all let's right. get into it. You want to tell us what this movie's about?
Sure. It's a buddy cop movie with Tom Hanks and a French Mastiff named Hooch.
He's a big old boy.
Basically, it revolves around the murder of one of Tom Hanks's character's old friends, seems like. And in order to solve the murder, he has to join up forces with this slobbery dog. Yeah.
And that's like the plot. Like, the plot relies on you having an appreciation for Tom Hanks and a dog that sometimes gets 2 minutes of screen time to just bark.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it is a challenging, you're just like, okay. All right.
All right, so this dog's a real character.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you seen this one before?
Yeah, I think I saw this when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And then didn't revisit it till a few years ago.
Okay.
And I had fond memories of it as a kid, and I think it's definitely built for more of the kid audience.
It's a Disney movie.
It does...
Or, is it? Yeah, which is really weird to me.
I watched it on Netflix, so I don't know. I didn't.
It was on Netflix?
Yeah.
I fucking paid $2 and went to Amazon.
Hey, that's a check to Tom.
Wow, that's so annoying! But also, you're welcome, Tom. I paid for your anniversary party.
But it also has, like, blood...
Yeah. So, and I have like no idea. Lots of death.
Yeah.
I had seen this movie once, right? Like the week after I graduated from college when I was living in my apartment, but it had been completely cleaned out and the only thing I had in it was an air mattress and my TV.
It's kind of a dark.
It was fine.
Dark existence. Oh, okay.
I just like didn't want to move back to my parents' house, so I was like, okay. I can just stay here.
Was this part of the initial group of movies that like propelled you into Tom Hanks super fandom?
Yeah, I remember literally typing into Amazon Tom Hanks and I just watched everything that it was interesting to me.
That's great.
Which was just mostly Apollo 13 and Sleepless in Seattle.
Yeah, that's fair. But this was part of the original gauntlet.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. This is a very comedic role. And it relies, like you said, so much on Tom being able to like build a relationship with a dog.
Yeah. And I personally think that piece of it really works. Like the two of them together, like Tom Hanks is great. In terms of Tom Hanks yell, this movie is pretty much an hour and 49 minutes of Tom Hanks screaming.
That's so funny. That's the whole time I was like, oh, this is like where it was born.
Yeah.
This is where it was brought to nourish and grow and thrive. And I wonder if at one point you and I should just practice our Tom Hanks yells.
Yeah, there's an inflection to it that needs some mastery technique.
Let's explain what it is first. Yeah. It's this guttural exclamation that Tom seems to rely on very heavily in his comedic roles, specifically.
It's great, though, because it almost makes him sound like a teenager going through puberty. Mm-hmm. Like, it almost sounds like his voice is cracking, because it just becomes this high-pitched, but, like, deeply internal scream.
Yeah.
You recognize that yell anywhere.
Oh my god. I like hear it call. It's like my bad single.
You can make it your ringtone, like a text tone.
I would for sure get fired. I also feel like there's such a physical component to it where he's always just, he's throwing himself around.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. Like stuff like Toy Story and stuff when he's yelling, not even on screen. You know the... I mean, like Woody in Toy Story does the, you know, sticks his hands behind his back to yell. But that's also you see Tom Hanks doing it in your head. Mm-hmm. Even if you've never seen Tom Hanks, you know, like, the posture you have to make to get that yell out.
So I surprisingly know a lot of trivia about this movie, which is normally not what I do. I'm just a passive viewer, but when they were trying to get Tom to do Toy Story, to play Woody, they did this like mock, like quick animation, but they used a snippet from Turner and Hooch, where he's yelling at Hooch after he's like chewed up the whole car, yeah, and they animated it. And Tom said he watched that clip and he laughed so hard that he immediately signed up to do Toy Story.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So he saw himself and then was like, I'm in.
Yeah, he was like, okay.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was Woody flinging his arms, throwing himself on the ground, how he does. It's so funny.
That's pretty smart.
Mm-hmm.
I could see, I think there's some similarities between those characters too.
Especially when they're yelling.
Yeah. So this Turner and Hooch has a plot. It's fairly easy to follow, but I think the script's the weakest part of it. Like, it's not a particularly interesting plot.
Yeah.
The idea is that Tom Hanks is a police officer. He's a detective, and he's tired of the town he's in. It's time to get out. So he's relocating, I think, to Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And he's training the gentleman who's going to replace him, who's another cop, and he's kind of making his rounds the last few days, and he goes to meet his old friend, Amos, I believe his name is. And Amos owns Hooch, and Hooch and Tom have a weird relationship because Hooch is a terrifying dog in his eyes.
Yeah.
And basically, cut to the chase, Amos and Hooch overhear some type of shady deal going down, and Amos gets killed because he's a witness to this crime. And but Hooch is also the witness.
Yeah, he's and the only witness.
Yeah. And so Tom comes back on. He's like, I'm going to hold off because he's got to solve this case because Amos was his friend. And who's going to help him? Not so much his partner all the time or the guy he's training, but Hooch instead.
Yeah.
He's very much like a man, like, I've got to solve this.
Yeah.
A masculine, this has to be me that solves this.
Yeah, he's got some unfinished business.
Mm-hmm.
We also get a lot of information about Scott Turner, the character that Tom plays, right in that opening scene of the movie.
Yeah.
Where we see Tom kind of living this almost like Patrick Bateman style life where
very obsessive.
Mm-hmm, every vitamin is laid out. He does his workouts on that rowing machine or whatever that like looks like you're skiing.
Yeah. I think those were a fad long gone.
I don't see those anywhere.
It's nice. There's a lot of like visual setup because it's not really till later when characters kind of poke fun at him for the quirks he has, but they doesn't explain it, shows it, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good start to me. I like to be shown stuff instead of just like, you know, if someone was like, oh, you're so OCD. Like,
right.
Okay.
But how?
Yeah.
It gives us a lot of insight into his character. It shows us why he makes a good, I don't think they don't say detective. They say investigator.
Oh, investigator.
Because he knows when things are out of place.
Yeah.
He knows how to follow procedure. He's very much like Friday in Dragnet.
It's almost like a reverse of role. He's like Friday, but still with the personality of his character in Dragnet.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the reasons that he has this kind of contentious relationship with Hooch, the dog, is because Hooch is everything that Scott Turner isn't. He's like reckless, he's wild, he's messy, and he has a complete disregard for any kind of like rules or structure.
Yeah.
So two unlikely pals.
Pair them together.
Good cop, bad cop.
Essentially what goes down is they're going to take, after the murder, they're going to take Hooch in for taking to the pound, essentially, because what do you do with this giant dog? And so Tom decides he's the witness. I got to take him for that, but also he's going to house him. And that's when all the fun begins of mass amounts of destruction played out over a lot of destruction very long chunks of screen time.
It's torture to watch. As someone who would consider myself very much a Scott Turner type, mm-hmm. like in the beginning, that's like literally me after I've worked out once, is like all that kelp powder and weird shit. He's just
like wash pouring every dish by hand and
straighten out odds and ends. The thought of that huge dog, which is such a drooly, slobbery, oh, it's like so gross to me. I at one point, like when I was watching it today, I was covering my eyes because I was so grossed out by it.
It's like a horror movie to you.
Ugh, it's just disgusting. I do not like boy dogs. I don't like their balls. And I do not like slobbery dogs who get their drippings everywhere. That is the grossest. Dogs are cool.
Oh, I was going to ask if you were a dog or a cat person.
Yeah, I think I'm a dog person.
Did you have a pet? Do you have a dog growing up?
My family got a dog right when I was like a senior in high school, basically. So I see her when I go visit my parents, but
yeah,
I never had a dog in the house when I was...
We weirdly had a dog when I was little who was a monster, like destroyed everything. and like we were, I was a little kid and it would just knock me over. And so we had to take it back.
Oh no.
We had to relocate it because it was just out of control. And
you took him to a nice farm upstate.
I don't know. My parents never told me what happened, but I hope it's something good. But then we adopted a dog later, a border collie.
Oh, pretty.
Very not slobbery dog.
Yeah.
And then now my parents have a pit bull.
Cool.
Also not a slobbery dog.
No, pit bulls are awesome.
They're stoic.
They're sweet.
She's great. Her name's Leia.
I don't get it.
Here's the thing.
You wouldn't understand.
Would you get a dog? If you get a dog now, what kind of dog would you get?
I like German Shepherds.
Okay.
I don't actually know if that's the dog I like.
It's a giant dog. It's okay, like a police dog.
No, never mind. I take it back. I like the kind that look like sheepdog.
Oh, like a border collie or an Australian shepherd.
The whole time I'm like, border collie.
Or like an Australian shepherd, too.
Maybe.
They're like the gray ones with the blue eyes.
Sometimes. Oh, yes. Yeah, that's what I like.
I like this
one. I like a medium dog because I want a dog I could go running with, but also I could snuggle with.
Yeah. Rachel and I want a French bulldog.
Cute.
I just love everything about them.
Like John Mulaney's dog, Petunia.
Yeah. Rachel once saw John Mulaney in an airport, didn't recognize John Mulaney, recognized Petunia, and then realized her owner. Which is a great segue of events.
Cool. The relationship between Turner and Hooch, the titular Turner and Hooch, is rough at first. Hooch has, like I said, no respect for boundaries. He chews up all the furniture in the house. He flaps his slobbery mouth all over the walls. Oh my God, it's so gross. And Turner takes Hooch to the vet in an attempt to be like, you take care of animals.
Yeah.
You can take this dog. Did you already talk about this?
No.
Oh, okay. And he meets Emily, a veterinarian.
The love interest.
Yes. The single girl in town. She's a good foil to him because she's so relaxed. She's so whatever, I'll finish painting my bedroom tomorrow.
Yeah. It's what she has it. She's got it super together, but it's just the opposite spectrum of the speed of things need to get done or the level of stress to put on anything.
Yeah.
It's going to get done, but
don't need to just make yourself sick about it.
Yeah.
Right in the beginning of the movie, when Turner is walking around with the detective that he's training for his replacement, that guy says something you need to relax. And what he really is saying is you need to get laid.
Yeah.
And Tom is I don't need, I don't think he says I don't need to do that. But he basically is no, I like the way I am. Oh, never changing.
Yeah.
Guess what happens at the end of the movie? He changes.
And he has SEX.
Ew.
Implied.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really... Well, yeah. I guess it's more than implied. Isn't it?
They're making omelets together in the morning.
Yeah.
Or in the evening.
And he just talks about... That is the weirdest scene. Let's talk about that. That's So Emily and Turner's relationship really... Actually kind of takes some time, but
yeah,
they end up kind of just hanging out together all the time. And they're on the beach. They live in Monterey, which is also where Big Little Lies takes place. And there's also a Zoltar machine in Monterey.
Oh, is there?
Yeah. sorry.
Something just looked like it all connected in your head when you said that.
Yeah.
We have to go.
We have to go to Monterey. Got a blast. I got to leave work really early today, and it's kind of messing with my brain. Went home at 3 p.m. today.
That's pretty nice.
It's really nice. I took a nap on the couch, and I fell asleep to Westworld. And then I woke up in the scene where the lady's biting a dude's finger off, and I was like,
ah. Nope, for later.
I'm going to watch this before bed, I think. Okay, so the scene that they're on the beach, and Tom is seemingly not shown any sexual interest in Emily.
Yeah, he's borderline asexual.
Yeah,
he seems to have no interest.
Super just, yeah. He just facts only, man.
Yeah.
Just the facts, ma'am. That's from Dragnet. And so she starts this one of the weirdest acts of foreplay that I've ever witnessed. Where she's like, do you know what I'm thinking about? And then they just talk in code to each other about sex. and then they have sex. Not on the beach, back at home, I'm sure, under the covers with the lights out.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was like... okay, let's talk about the weird breakfast scene. I don't know why I talked about the beach thing.
We could talk, I kind of think every scene not involving Hooch directly is the part of the movie I didn't like as much.
Interesting.
I just want Hooch on screen. You not always destroying Hooch? Stuff. Though I really liked Emily. And yeah. I like his partner.
Do you like Emily better than Hooch? I mean, Hooch better than Emily?
Yeah, only because I like the scene of them actually bonding, where he starts to like fight with them with the thing in his mouth, and then they are wrestling and rolling around, and then he like is laying on him, and
when they're doing really the cute bath.
Oh, it's after the bath. It's like when they're just like getting to know each other in the house.
Yeah. Oh, and he sees how sweet Hooch is.
Yeah, I think I just missed my dog, maybe, and so then it's that's why I'm drawn to Hooch.
I mean, dogs are like very special.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
I'm gonna offer a hot take here. Dogs are cool.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with you. Dogs are a 5 out of 5. I haven't given that on the show yet, but dogs are 5 out of 5.
That's what you guys come here for, controversial opinions, Tom Hanks related facts. I wonder which character is more influential in Turner's journey, from like crazy... I'm wary of using the term obsessive compulsive, because that's like a legitimate thing that people suffer from.
I think he's just particular.
Yes, he's very... Yes, particular is a kinder word than I was going to say.
I would say Hooch, because without Hooch... Hooch is the only reason he's led into Emily.
Yeah.
And Hooch is the reason he has to change, because Hooch changes too, but in a more subtle, different way. Mm-hmm. So I think without Hooch to sort of like upend his life, he wouldn't have allowed anything else into his life. So I think he's at a thing where he's like, everything has... You know, this week was supposed to be a vacation for him to move to a new job, and then everything shifts.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, he shifts and therefore allows two people in his life that he wouldn't have otherwise.
I wonder why... We get a little bit of backstory about him. He has this weird moment with Emily before they have that weird foreplay scene on the beach, where he doesn't even want to kiss her goodnight or something. And he kind of like does his weird Tom yell at her, where he's saying, what will happen is like 8 months from now, you'll say that I'm obsessive and I'm too neurotic and I can never relax. Like, he basically tells us the story of like why his last relationship ended.
Yeah. I'm going to jump to the end just to bring this point back. The craziest thing in Turner and Hooch is that it ends, the dog's dead, which is very dark.
So surprising.
I guess if in terms of people who have influenced him, like, I don't know how long he knew Hooch when he owned him, but it could have been more than a few days.
Mm-hmm.
So Hooch led him to Emily.
Yeah.
And then Emily changed him along with whatever Hooch did to then take on the life he takes at the end.
And we find that maybe all he was really missing...
Was a puppy.
He likes the chaos. That's what he wanted.
Yeah.
And that's why he wanted to move to Sacramento, was because there would be more things happening at work rather than a bunch of misdemeanors.
If only he would have waited till Big Little Lies chunk of stuff.
My God, he would have had a very large thing to deal with.
Maybe Big Little Lies season 2, Tom Hanks reprises his role, comes back.
Oh my God.
To solve whatever, you know, the new murder. So what did you think of the general mystery? We haven't really talked about it because I think it's kind of like that. I think it's the most uninteresting part of the movie.
It was hard for me to follow.
Yeah.
It seems like there's a fish company, a fish like packer, right across from where Amos lives.
Yeah.
He lives on a boat and he watches them. And they're always doing weird stuff. They're smuggling drugs out or something.
There's also like a lot of money that they're hiding in ice.
In the ice?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And, like, the police captain or something is involved?
Oh, yeah. I definitely don't remember any of this. I watched the movie, like, two hours ago.
As they start to, like, figure out the... Hooch and him figure out sort of the end result, he goes to, like, go into this fish facility or this packing facility.
Yeah.
And the captain, whoever it is, I've forgotten at this point, and I finished it minutes ago.
Another one I did.
But they're going to go in together, and of course he betrays him, and then Hooch ends up saving him, and Hooch gets shot, and the end mystery is resolved. It's by far, I mean, it's the what holds the movie together of why he's staying, I guess. But it is, yeah, I didn't care about the mystery. I just wanted more scenes with Hooch and Emily.
Very similar to the other buddy cop movie that we have to compare, Dragnet.
Yeah.
Where the mystery was like, what?
At least Dragnet went all in on like, this is weird sometimes.
True. Yeah, there was definitely no City of Crime.
Yeah, no music video, which is a real bummer.
With Hooch, imagine.
A little doggy dance. What's it? There's movies. Did you grow up on movies like Beethoven and Homeward Bound and all the like the string of
I know dog Beethoven. Movies? I don't think I saw Homeward Bound. Beethoven's another big slobbery dog who fucks things
yeah.
up.
Yeah. But he's like, that movie's all about like, I don't remember that movie to be honest, but I remember being like mostly about the family and like their shenanigans with him.
Yeah.
And this kind of seems like it wants to be this comedy about this guy and his dog and then have this mystery sort of tacked on to like make a more compelling plot, but I think that's the least interesting part.
Yeah, they just really wanted to see Tom do weird stuff with a dog.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think, there must have been a, was this, I'm looking up what year this movie came out.
I think 89.
Okay. Because then like Air Bud and Beethoven, like there was probably the whole, basically the 90s was
yeah, there weren't like a 10-year stretch of dog and animal movies.
Dog
actors. A lot
of
them talking. Babe and Homeward Bound and a lot of Air Buds.
Yeah, Lady and the Tramp. Just kidding, that's a cartoon.
But it's also a dog.
People love watching dogs.
101 Dalmatians.
Oh, yeah.
The live action one.
There's so many dogs in that movie.
Yeah. That really took it to... That's like the Avengers Infinity War of dog movies.
You know what scene I thought was interesting? The stakeout where Turner and Hooch are just like in that car together. Yeah. It's very long.
As a lot of the scenes are.
Right. They really drag them out. But I read some trivia about that where Tom said... First of all, Tom's... has said that this was like one of the hardest movies for him to ever make because there's like four dogs that play Hooch and he had to like train with them before they started filming so that the dogs would like be used to working with him. But that so much of the scenes were scripted specifically to be like dog does something, Turner reacts.
Yeah.
So it was like, you can't rehearse for that. It's just, you just roll cameras on this dog.
And having to keep that energy up for every take, hoping that you get through everything you're supposed to, must be exhausting.
Yeah, so that car scene was just, it was completely just improvised.
Really?
Isn't that crazy? That's cool. He, like, eats the dog biscuit, which was very funny. And then there's, like, a really long, juicy take of that slobbery dog. It was like, oh my god, I feel so sick thinking about it. That scene in Mulan, the movie where she spits to like prove, that also grosses me out. I don't like spit, just so everyone knows. I'm like trying to look at my notes and I wrote underneath the stakeout, I wrote Hooch as the ultimate party. But I I don't know why or what I was really meaning to write because that doesn't make sense.
I like partner, his statement. Partner. Oh, okay.
He's the ultimate partner. That's what I meant.
He's a great partner. He's loyal as heck.
Loyal as heck.
He's scary.
He's... I mean, the dog's, like, biggest trick is that he just can completely pin a human being down by their throat.
Yeah, how do you train? That's crazy.
You know dogs' mouths are so gentle they can hold an egg without cracking?
I've seen those videos. They're so funny.
So cute.
But dangerous. Don't let your dog... You don't want it to eat eggshells.
Why?
It's bad. Eggshells would be bad if you swallowed them.
Oh.
My favorite thing is, in regards to story, is that as the movie goes along, Tom seems to just kind of go unhinged. And, like, when he catches one of the suspects and has Hooch hold him down by the neck, and he's, like, threatening him. He's like, this dog will crush your neck. He's got a gun in his face. And I was like, this is... He's making a swift change here, taking the law into his own hands. But I guess if he knows that somehow the police are in...
He doesn't involved, care.
No, he wants to get the job done.
He basically is like, I'm out of here anyway. I'm gonna figure this out.
Yeah.
That was, he like shoots at that hotel clerk.
Oh yeah.
He's very
a little out of control.
Unhinged is a good word.
It's pretty cool though.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I wonder if they could do a reverse movie where Tom is like a bit like the bad. He's sort of his character from Dragnet, but he's unhinged in the same regard. And Hooch is like this great dog that has to teach him how to be a proper cop.
God, that would be a fresh take. That would actually probably be a really maybe funny SNL skit.
Yeah. That's about as far as it could go. Because even the SNL skit would be a little too long.
Yeah, and have, like, no solid ending. No, oh my God, sorry. I love SNL. I am not going to do that to that show.
Well, I don't... There's not a lot to unpack in this movie, I feel like.
Do you like it?
I find it enjoyable. But I think it's the kind of movie... And I don't really do this, but I think it's the kind of movie I would put on while I was doing other stuff.
Oh, you don't do that?
No.
Huh.
I can't do that. If a movie, that's why I'm behind on television stuff, because if the show is on, that's my attention.
Phone away.
I don't like phone. If I've seen the movie, sometimes I'll check a phone, like if I get a text or something, but if I haven't, like, my focus is there. That's why I like movie theaters, because, like, no one's allowed to. At least they shouldn't. I'll yell at you if you do. it's, like, a pure environment.
Yeah. Safe space.
But, like, I watch this, and, like, of course, I have to watch the whole thing. So... yeah, I would say it's a fun, it's definitely for a younger audience, even though it's dark as heck. Again, the dog dies at the end. Spoiler, the dog dies a violent death.
Yeah.
Like a bloody gunshot death.
And it's slow and dragged out.
And Tom Hanks cries.
Literally, oh, that was like Captain Phillips crying.
Yeah. It is like a different movie at that point.
Good acting, though.
Yeah. We come back to the epilogue. The epilogue is very much a cute, like... We're back into things.
He's married to Emily. They've got a bunch of puppies.
And a baby
mastiff. A little baby hooch. Which is interesting. Yeah. Those dogs look weird when they're babies.
They're like, everything's too big. Yeah. It's pretty cute.
But they still have such wrinkly faces.
They look like little gremlins.
And no drool.
Yet.
Yuck.
What an awful... Can you imagine if you just drooled and you couldn't help it? Just like, your lips overlapped and you just like, are always drooling.
Oh, God. I would hate that.
That'd be rough because you're a baker.
Yeah. Also, just, like, trying to communicate with people.
Yeah.
No one would, like, look at... Okay, so I'm going to be honest. This is one of my least favorite Tom Hanks movies.
I really like Tom in it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't really come back to it.
I, and I've said this a million times already, I cannot get over how gross the dog is. I know that's funny and that's part of it, but... It's disgusting, and it makes the movie very unenjoyable for me.
Yeah.
I think there's better buddy cop Tom.
Yeah, and there's 20 minutes you could trim pretty easily in just letting chaos. Like, chaos, we've already seen it happen. We know what he's learning from it.
Yeah.
Just let it play out, because...
Play it for laughs.
Yeah, but it loses its fun. But I guess if it's, like, the target audience, if this is for kids, then, like, that probably is the best part.
Just yeah.
The chaos of someone destroying a house.
You know, I'm surprised there's no poop jokes.
Yeah, that's the weirdest thing in this is, like, the jokes are not, like, easy, like, kid jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, it's not, like, a great script, but most of the humor is visual humor or Tom yelling humor mm-hmm. versus any type of punchlines.
That did just remind me that when they're in the police station, Hooch is, like, farting.
Yeah.
That's like the You're closest right. thing we get to a poop
we
joke.
We lied right away.
Sorry.
I forgot lying. There's a farting joke.
A very long one. Like, clears
like a window
the
room. Open. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then it's like a plot driven one because then the window open leads Hooch to the window and he's like looking at the dude. What does that guy do? Why is he at that wedding?
He's a photographer. He was Why taking is he doing photos. That? Yeah. It's weird.
He's making tons of money selling whatever.
First rule of laundering money, Daniel. You have to pretend you're not laundering it.
Oh.
Fucking idiot.
It's fair. I'll keep that in mind. Wedding photography. I don't trust it now.
Very weird. Like, photography in the street. I don't know. None of it makes sense to me.
They were like, we have to get him out in public. We're like, what is he going to be doing?
Yeah.
Wedding photography.
We'll need a wedding.
Yeah.
In the streets of Monterey.
We need 30 extras. Like, why? That's so much money.
No. None of them will be speaking. We'll just have the dog fart, and that will get us into it.
That was like an on-the-day thing. They were like, how did the dog get to the window? And they're like, what if he farts and we open it?
It smells really bad.
That's great. So do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm in agreement. I think it has enough personality to it that this is like a... Like, some people grew up and loved this movie.
People, Ryan loved it. That was, like, Ryan's favorite movie.
And that's totally fair. And especially, I think, from Ryan, who we interviewed last time, who's like a stand-up comedian with a lot of physical comedy. Like, from a physical comedy perspective, this is like peak Tom Hanks physical comedy. Like, he is going all in. The segment where he's trying to get the dog in the car at the beginning is really funny. But there's just so much of the movie around those things that doesn't work for me that it strips it away.
It doesn't have any rewatchability.
Better than Bachelor Party, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I still hate Bachelor Party more. Okay.
Because Bachelor Party is, like, offensive bad.
Yeah.
This is just, well, I mean, to you, boring. It is offensive bad. To your sensibilities.
To my delicate lady sensibilities. You know what I noticed? We did get a rare sighting of a hashtag Hanksceptionist, the hashtag that I'm desperately trying to take off. That funny lady, I don't actually know if she's a receptionist, but she seems to do a lot of clerical work.
Yeah.
She's funny.
And this is still, like, 80s comedy, like...
Yeah.
It's a boys' club.
Yeah, she could not be out there capturing bicycle thieves.
Well, I don't want to replace Tom Hanks, but if Tom Hanks had a partner and it was her and Hooch...
Maybe. I think that would ruin it.
Or if Emily was his partner.
I liked Emily.
I did like her.
I think she was a good balance for him. She was like, what is it? Lawful good. He's lawful good.
Yeah. She's like, lawful evil.
Evil, you think?
No, she's like...
neutral.
She's like... No, he's... Yeah, he's lawful good. She's neutral good. And Hooch is chaotic
good. Chaotic good. Cute!
Yeah. So it's the perfect little trifecta.
Yeah.
But he's dead, so... Game over, man.
Something we haven't touched on yet. I said this earlier about how there's four dogs that played Hooch.
Yes.
But dogs that can act is cool.
Yeah, because there's people who can't act and they still get jobs.
Yeah.
Then you get a dog that like steals the show.
It's crazy.
That's pretty dope.
How do they get dogs to do that?
I think intense training.
Clickers, probably.
Yeah. Then it depends on the dog. I looked at a list recently of dog breeds ranked by smartness.
Oh.
By intelligence. Yeah. See where I rank.
Which I is don't the know smartest? Why.
I think Border Collies are.
Oh, shit. Poodles are smart, too, I think.
I think they were.
Yeah.
There's a lot. French Bulldogs not so smart, but that's okay. It was ranked on how many verbal cues and words that they understand and what they can remember and do and how long it takes them to learn it when you're trying to teach them something. So, like, some dogs, like, have, like, kind of a limit to how many tricks they can learn because they just, like, can't retain it.
Oh, cute.
And, like, Border Collies, like, can learn so much.
Yeah. I feel like Hooch was a particularly... Just the character of Hooch was made to be a very smart dog. He could, like, communicate with Tom. Like, they make a plan of, like, him guarding the back entrance. Like,
yeah. I wish... Although, I think some dogs do work like that.
It's crazy. There are dogs that, like, smell bombs and stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
I love that. All right. Well, I think I'd give this movie, like, 2 thumbs up. Out of 5 thumbs.
Yeah, I think I'd be in a 2. I might give it a 2.5 for, like, a little bit of nostalgia, but...
Yeah.
2 is probably where I'd land.
If I had kids, I'd watch this with them.
Yeah, but then I wonder what I took away from this as a kid.
Sad. Sad.
That movie. Or, like, do I want to break stuff and, like, have a giant dog?
Because it's funny.
Yeah.
True.
I don't know. I'm sorry, listeners. I don't know what to deep dive in this.
It's fine. Well, before we move on to our next segment, I want to briefly say some things for the Talk Tom to Us portion of the show. I wanted to thank the few people who have written in and left some reviews for us on iTunes. That shit makes my day. And I get really excited every time I see a review. So thank you for doing that.
And we have real reviews from people that are not our friends.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting.
It's awesome.
We're glad you guys are digging it.
Thanks for joining us. We're freaking
enjoying doing it.
Literally the perfect reason for me to be doing anything. That didn't make sense. I'm so sorry.
It sounded like you were trying to get like a really quotable statement out.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of fell apart.
Once again. Well, do you want to talk about our next segment? Our most popular, famous segment?
Is the segment
Hanks Happenings? Yeah, it is.
That was weird. Sweet. Yeah.
So,
got any juicy stuff this week?
Kind of. It happened last week, but it is very important. Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson celebrated their 30th anniversary, and they had a wonderful party. Unfortunately, you and I were unable to make it this year.
Yes.
But we'll make it to the next one.
Yeah, we'll be there. We'll be there for 35 and 50 and all the above.
And we'll just, like, move in with them and, like, take care of them in their old age. But it's really sweet. They're a cute couple.
Yeah, they are. They're, like, the Hollywood couple that you're like, love maybe is, maybe can work. Maybe this can work in this
Jury's city. Still out on that for me, but I do appreciate the fondness they seem to have for each other. And it was a star-studded event, man. It was like, I feel like Obama was there. I don't know if that's true.
I would believe that.
Yeah.
We got a Medal of Freedom?
Yeah.
So it's very possible. Well, I wanted to call you out on something first before we start wrapping up. And that's that I went on Wikipedia and he's credited as Detective Scott Turner. So.
Well, in the movie he says, we're not detectives.
Like a formal apology.
Oh, right. Well.
That'd be pretty cool.
I will die on this hill. And I stand by my interpretation of the movie.
I don't want to argue with Wikipedia. So our next movie, before we wrap things up, is Joe versus the Volcano. Ooh. So if you guys are playing catch up with us, watch Joe versus the Volcano. It's a romantic comedy.
With Meg Ryan.
Yeah, this is the first Meg Ryan appearance of many.
Wow, I'm very excited. In terms of directing, what did you notice about this movie?
Well, it's directed by Roger Spottiswood.
Okay.
He, as I mentioned in the intro, he went on to direct like a James Bond movie. And he has a really strange and varied career. But the movie was originally going to be directed by Henry Winkler. And he got fired 13 days into it. And they were already into production. And they canned him. And I found a quote. You found this quote. Let me give credit where credit's due. And it said that he didn't last 2 weeks on set. And he's quoted saying, "Let's just say I got along better with Hooch than I did with Turner." Which is really interesting.
So that means he didn't get along with Tom?
Yeah.
I call bullshit.
Then the new director comes in and he's like, "I did nothing, in fact, except take the lens cap off each day and enjoy watching Tom, who was brilliant. And the dog, who was also brilliant."
Yeah. Who doesn't like Tom Hanks?
Yeah. Who apparently Henry Winkler.
Well, bye.
I wonder if we can get him on the show.
Henry Winkler?
Yeah.
Yeah, I will verbally berate him the entire time. So, we're watching Joe vs. the Volcano next.
Yes.
We don't have any minisodes in the near future, but we're working on them.
Every 2 weeks a movie, though.
Yeah. We're ready for your ideas, if whatever you want us to talk about on a minisode.
Yeah, we need your help. You find us to give us your help?
Oh my God, so many places. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, under the handle PodHanksTomCast.
And on our website, TalkinTom.com. Without the G, that's an important detail.
Don't put the G in there.
Yeah.
You'll get lost.
You get like an app or something.
Yeah, you're going to end up on a weird children's app with a cat that talks.
Huh.
It's not that weird and I used to have it, but...
Oh, is it like an old thing?
Yeah, I had it in college.
Oh. Thought someone was stepping on our groove.
Yeah. Well, please leave us a review on iTunes.
Yes, please.
It gives us eyes and we love more people talking Tom to us.
And like a deep-seated sense of satisfaction.
Yeah, like, finally, Dad, this is worth it.
We paid good money for this SoundCloud account.
Yeah. Yeah, this podcast costs us money.
Yeah.
That's fine. I
think it's worth it.
I'm funding this entire podcast. I'm not. We divide the share very equally. If you're interested in continuing the conversation, or if you just want me to shut up, like Daniel does, find us on all of our stuff, and that's it. As always, my name's Josie.
My name's Daniel.
Thanks for listening.